Let's turn in our Bibles now, shall we, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 7. 1 Corinthians and chapter 7. I'm going to read from verse 17. One Corinthians then, and chapter 7, starting to read at verse 17. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings, brothers and sisters. Each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Let's pray. Well, we want to thank you for your word to us this morning, and we want to thank you for your word to us again this evening. And we pray that we may be helped by it. We certainly want to submit to it. We ask for grace to be able to live in the light of it. But please, Lord, grant us now an alertness so that we might listen to all that you have to say to us. And will you help your servant who feels so keenly his dependence upon you? Lord, you are an amazing God. You can make bad sermons into good sermons. You can make good sermons into great sermons. And we ask that you will be pleased to help your servant this evening, so that your people will receive food, good food, from yourself. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder whether you've ever thought to yourself, I wish that my circumstances in life were different. If only my circumstances in life were different, then I could live a more fruitful Christian life. I could bring more glory to God. If only I wasn't ill, then I could do this for God. If only I wasn't married to X. If only I was married to Y. If only I went to a church where this happened and that happened. If only I wasn't in this job where, and you can fill in the blanks. If only my family were like this. Sometimes we're full of if onlys, aren't we? As I was preparing, my mind went to my uncle who served the Lord faithfully for many years as a pastor. He served two churches in this country. He served two churches in Italy. And yet, whilst in Italy, it became apparent that his wife was unwell. It was the beginning of Alzheimer's. and they had to return to this country. And it wasn't so long before my uncle had to retire from the pastorate altogether. And even now he finds himself largely housebound, looking after his dear wife, who really has no quality of life at all. I'm not afraid to speak about him in a public setting. He's spoken about his difficulties publicly. He's written about his difficulties and his struggles in the book that I have in my hand. So nothing that I'm saying would break confidentiality. But I know in the early days he was wrestling with his situation. If only my situation was different, then I could be so much more fruitful for the Lord. I think the Corinthian believers were thinking along similar lines. There were those that were married who thought that if they divorced their spouses, that they could live differently, that they could live better Christian lives. But throughout this chapter, Paul keeps on emphasizing the same thing. In fact, I think verse 17 is the key verse in the whole of this chapter. What's said here in verse 17 is repeated lots of times elsewhere in the chapter, but verse 17, it seems to me, is so key. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. Why does the Apostle Paul say this? Well, because as far as he is concerned, outward circumstances are not the really important thing when it comes to holiness and living for God's glory. It's being in Christ, isn't it, that makes us holy. And it's keeping God's commands, as we'll see this evening, particularly the command to love that enables us to live for God's glory. And we can keep God's commands by the power of His Spirit, regardless of our outward circumstances. And therefore, we must not be a people that are forever wishing that our outward circumstances were different. We must not be a people that are seeking to force change with regard to our outward circumstances. God, for this moment in time, has called us to live for Him, to bring glory to His name right where we are. Now, we've spent quite a bit of time talking about singleness and marriage in these verses that we're looking at tonight. Paul addresses two further issues where believers should retain the place that the Lord has assigned to them and to which the Lord has called them. The first, as you can see from your news sheet, amounts to a religious issue, that of circumcision. And the second is a social issue, that of slavery. So let's look at them one at a time, and we'll endeavour to apply this to our context or to our situation as we go along. Firstly then, Paul has a word to say to those that are uncircumcised and those that are circumcised. Remain as you are. Verse 18. Remain as you are. Now we know that the matter of circumcision was a big issue in the churches in Galatia, as well as in the church at Philippi. There were those that were seeking to impress upon the believers in the church that circumcision was necessary for salvation. They argued that faith in Christ wasn't enough, that one needed to add to simple faith. in Jesus. And Paul had to write to these churches seeking to counteract this false teaching they were receiving. And we know, of course, that he impressed upon them that it is by God's grace that one is saved through simple faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith alone. Now, circumcision seems to have been something of an issue in Corinth too, but I would suggest to you that it didn't amount to such a serious issue as in Galatia and Philippi. But it was still an issue. Firstly, there were those who wanted to be uncircumcised, verse 18. Apparently, circumcision was an embarrassment in the Roman world. John MacArthur, in his commentary, writes, and I quote, "According to the Maccabees, some Jewish men made themselves uncircumcised. Josephus tells us that during the Greek rule of the Eastern Mediterranean several centuries before Christ, that some Jewish men who wanted to be accepted into Greek society had surgery performed to make themselves appear uncircumcised when they bathed or exercised at the gymnasiums. They literally became uncircumcised surgically." The Roman encyclopedist Celsus in the 1st century AD wrote a detailed description of the surgical procedure for uncircumcision. The practice was so common that considerable rabbinic literature addressed the problem. Jews who had such surgery were referred to as something that I can't pronounce, a name taken from a Greek word that I can't pronounce, meaning to draw over or to pull towards. And this is the very term that Paul uses here for the uncircumcised. Why were there those in Corinth that wanted to be uncircumcised? Presumably they were Jews. Well, we don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't tell us, but perhaps some of the believers saw this as a way of breaking away from Judaism in order to be more Christian. And then there were those who wanted to be circumcised. Why? Again, I don't know. But perhaps it was seen as a special mark of dedication towards God. But whatever the reasoning behind the desires of the Corinthian believers, Paul simply says that it doesn't matter whether one is circumcised or not. Nothing is gained either way. Look at verse 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Circumcision doesn't make you holy. No more than wearing a fancy suit or having your hair cut in a particular way or wearing a cross around your neck or whatever it might be. It's only in Christ that we are holy. And neither does circumcision enable one to glorify God. It's just not an issue for God's covenant people anymore. What matters, and Paul spells this out in verse 19, is keeping God's commands. Keeping God's commands. And I think that Paul probably has in mind here the great command to love. You see, as we've been working through 1 Corinthians, seen that this was a church where there was lots of jealousy and pride and infighting. There were those that were full of pride and wanted to be seen as better and more spiritual than others. Well, Paul wants them to put an end to their jealousy and their quarrelling and their pride and to love him. To love God and to love one another and to be at peace with one another. If you look back to verse 15, you will be reminded that God had called these people to live in peace. And so he calls the uncircumcised and the circumcised to remain as they are. They're no better off by seeking to change their outward circumstances. They're already holy in Christ. And they can live to God's glory, not by changing their outward circumstances, but by living according to God's commands with the help of the Holy Spirit. So firstly, remain circumcised and uncircumcised. Secondly, this evening, remain slaves. Verses 21 to 24. There were thousands of slaves in the ancient world. In the Roman Empire, I'm told that 50% of the population were slaves. Now, it must be said that many slaves in those days were treated well. Some of them were quite educated people. Doctors, teachers, solicitors, and so on. But whilst many lived a fairly good life, there were, of course, others who lived a difficult life, a terrible life. There were those whose lives were made a misery by their masters. Yet regardless of one's situation, regardless of how one was treated, it was, of course, still considered more desirable to be a free person or a free man. Now, it seems that there were those in the church at Corinth who were troubled by being slaves. Perhaps they felt less Christian by being slaves. Not only because of what those outside the church said, but because of what misguided individuals inside the church said. Perhaps that there were Christian slaves in the church that felt that they could live a more God-glorifying life if only their circumstances were different, if only they weren't bound in the way that they were. But Paul interestingly says that they shouldn't let this fact trouble them. Actually, being a free man didn't make one a better Christian or more holy. Paul wants to impress upon these people that even as slaves, they can live contented lives. Even as slaves, they can live lives that glorify God. You know, can we not say that this, in a sense, was true for the Apostle Paul? Okay, he wasn't a slave, but there were times when he found himself in chains and in prison. There were times when he wasn't free to wander about the Mediterranean world preaching the gospel. Times when he wasn't free to engage with Christians, helping to build them up in their most holy faith. And yet whenever Paul found himself in prison, it seems that he was content. And in the letter that he writes to the Philippians, he tells us that he had learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. He could do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened him. Not only did Paul find that he could be content with Jesus' help in any and every situation, he also recognized that whatever situation he found himself in, that God had essentially brought those situations about. They were God's purpose for him. God had called him to experience such situation. And therefore he took the opportunity to live for God and to witness for Jesus to the ability in those situations. And of course he proved fruitful for God in those situations. Do you remember Paul was in prison whilst in Philippi? What was he doing in the prison cell? Singing hymn during the middle of the night. And then, of course, the opportunity to witness to the jailer. And when in prison, or kept under guard in Rome, he witnessed to the whole Roman guard. Listen to what he wrote to the church at Philippi. "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." All sorts of positive things had arisen despite the fact that he was effectively a slave in a prison cell. And I think my uncle, who had to come back from Italy and ended up writing this book, would want to say something similar. In the early days, I know that he really struggled. Life was very dark for him. He questioned what God was doing. Why had God allowed him to find himself in these circumstances? But actually, as time unfolded, God began to make things just a little bit clearer. I'm not sure that they're perfectly clear even now, but just a little bit clearer. There was the opportunity to witness to one of the carers who ended up becoming a Christian. Uncle found himself with a lot of time on his hands, and well, that gave him the opportunity to write this book, and lots of people have bought this book or been given this book and have read this book and have been encouraged in their own difficult and trying circumstances. Sometimes we may feel trapped by our own situation or our own circumstances, but the really important thing for us to remember is that we are the Lord's freed woman, or the Lord's freed really matters. And this is what Paul impresses upon any that might be slaves in Corinth. "For he who was a slave, when he was called by the Lord, is the Lord's freed man." You see, what matters in life is not so much our outward circumstances, but the fact that we have been freed from sin and death and Satan and condemnation. What matters is belonging to Jesus and being free to serve him in the power of the Spirit. Interestingly, Paul here says that even the free man is a slave of Christ. As if to say, at the end of the day, you know, everybody is a slave to something or to someone. But the wonderful thing about us all in the church at Corinth, regardless of our outward circumstances, is that we belong to Jesus. That we have the privilege, the opportunity to serve him. Whether it be in good homes or difficult homes, whether it be in good workplaces or difficult workplaces,
Whether it be in good relationships or difficult relationships, we have the opportunity to serve our Master who is Jesus. Look what Paul says. In the verse that I can't find. Well, it's in there somewhere, I know it is. Well, let me keep talking. I might find it in a minute. What Paul is seeking to do here is to impress upon any of these Christian slaves that they mustn't become the slaves of men. It's verse 23. I found it now. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. What on earth does Paul mean by this when he's talking to people that were the slaves of men? Well, what I think he means is that they shouldn't become slaves to the worldly values or opinions of men. Do you remember the story about myself that I told several times some time ago? It concerned my football boots. My mum went into Woolworths one day and she bought a pair of imitation Adidas football boots. And when she brought them home, I was absolutely devastated as a young teenager. You see, they weren't the real thing, and there was no way that I was going to wear them at school. I just couldn't face the reaction of my peers. And I cried so much and argued so much that in the end the football boots were taken back to the shop. And then we went to a shop where Adidas football boots could be bought, and I seem to remember that I had to give my mum a considerable amount of my pocket money in order that they might be purchased. But you see, looking back, I was really a slave to the values, to the opinions, the thoughts of my peers. And we can so easily become slaves, can't we, to the values, the opinions of those in the world around us. See, they want to tell us what a good job is. They want to tell us how big a house would mean that we were successful in life. The world impresses upon young people all kinds of things, and if they're not careful, they become so easily enslaved to the values or to the culture in which we live. We're not so different, are we, at times as adults? Paul says that we mustn't be enslaved to men. We have to recognize that we are the slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to live for His glory in any and every situation. You see, if we don't recognize that and live accordingly, it will undoubtedly cause a great deal of stress and anxiety. It does cause a lot of stress and anxiety. Remember the stress that was brought about in my own mind because of the peer pressure in my youth with regard to football boots. Well, these slaves, they were troubled because of the values and opinions of men, and they were in danger of becoming slaves to their values
and opinions. Do not become the slave of men, says Paul. Don't let others, don't let the world determine how you live and think. It's okay to be a slave. It doesn't make you any less Christian. It doesn't mean that you're at a disadvantage when it comes to living for the glory of God. Let Jesus be your master in that home where you are forced to work. Live for Him. He purchased you for Himself on the cross. Serve Him in the circumstances in which you find yourself. Of course, if there is an opportunity for you to gain your freedom, by all means, do so. But don't live every day fretting about it. Don't live every day troubled by it. Don't try to force yourself out of a situation that actually God has called you to. And then Paul emphasizes this remaining in the situation to which one is called in verse 24. Keeps on repeating it. Brothers, each man, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation God called him to. I have to be honest with you this evening that there are times when I wish that my circumstances were different. I wish that they were different so that life would be easier, but also so that I could serve God more fruitfully. And maybe there are times in your own life when you think that, oh, if only things were different. But we must remember that the Lord, in His sovereignty, has put us where we are and in the circumstances in which we face. And unless we must change our situation, because it would be sinful to remain in it, we should gladly embrace our circumstances and seek to serve Him to the best of our ability right where we are. Of course, we may not be locked into our circumstances forever. A single person may meet somebody that they like, and the Lord makes it clear that they should marry that person, and they end up marrying that person. We're not locked into the same job forever. We're not locked into the same church situation forever. But I would argue that unless the Lord clearly leads and directs us, then the teaching of the Scripture is such that we should remain in the situation in which we find ourselves and seek to live for God's glory and honour there. I don't know about you, but I've often found verse 17 to be particularly helpful throughout my Christian life. You see, the temptation can always be to want to run to somewhere different. Particularly when things are difficult. You know, we live in a world, don't we, where people are getting divorced and remarried all the time. There are some people in life that just go from job to job to job to job to job and never seem to settle. There are those we know who go from church to church to church to church to church and never settle anywhere. There's always a problem. There's always a difficulty. The grass is always greener somewhere else. Well, I believe that the Lord's teaching to us this evening as Christians, unless I clearly lead you somewhere else, you remain in the situation to which you are called. And you seek to serve God there with joy and all the strength that He grants to you. Let me finish by reading verse 17. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has has called him. Let's pray together. Lord, we acknowledge your sovereignty this evening. Sometimes that's difficult to do. Sometimes we do question your ways. We wonder what you are doing. We wish that our circumstances were different. But we acknowledge your sovereignty. And Lord, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we pray that you would help us to live to your glory. We thank you that we have your Holy Spirit, who can enable us to be content and to serve you well, even in the most difficult and trying of circumstances. Lord, we know that we can always try doors. We know that we are not locked into our situation forever. We know that you will not put us in situations where we find ourselves tempted beyond what we can bear. But we pray that, Lord, we may be enabled to honour you just where we are, to accept our circumstances. And, Lord, not to be troubled by them, always wishing that the situation was something different. Oh, Lord, please help us all as we wrestle with these things this evening. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, shall we, and sing our final hymn.